talking about just addressing some of the questions about the motion in limine and go back to the possession issue. The couple things that occurred, the main agent, I think I stated earlier, who was responsible for conducting the investigation did not testify. He was at training. When requested to see a report did not exist, and simply a file of some notes that were taken by one of the agents in executing the arrest warrant. And nowhere in that, was there any mention of a firearm, that he was armed, dangerous, or had a history of this. With the statement made by Mr. Abel, was a complete surprise both to me and I think also to the government. And so I think it did have the prejudicial effect because it wasn't anticipated by either side. And it really went to the heart of the matter, since the basis of my, opening statement and whole trial strategy is, we didn't possess a firearm. They're not going to be able to prove we possessed a firearm. And it certainly wasn't in furtherance of a crime. So I think the statements that he made, were not anticipated by anybody. And I think in being there and watching him ask the questions, I think, in my opinion, they were intentional the way he answered the questions. But I think it did have a very prejudicial effect on the jury, since that was a main issue. But I think also when we get back to the 924C, the only way they relate the firearm back to count one is this is 78 grams in the freezer, and what the government has to prove is possession. They can't prove actual possession, so we're simply talking about constructive possession. Did they provide sufficient evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that he constructively possessed this firearm? And there's no evidence in the record that he did that. He's simply there, which is undisputed. It's his girlfriend's house. He's there sleeping when he's arrested in the morning. Spending the night at a girlfriend's house doesn't in and of itself make you possess everything in the apartment. And so they didn't have any evidence to suggest that the firearm, he was aware of it, that how long it had been there, did he know, did he possess it, and it was through a constructive possession. And there's no evidence in the records to support that.
Did you raise all these points in your motion for judgment of acquittal at the conclusion of the government's case?
I did. I went through the entire, from count one all the way through count two, and I remember in the possession argument, too, about certain cases, I think it was the Murchison case that I directed to Judge Schell about where they found the gun under the mattress. And he distinguished that case and said, well, that doesn't apply, and so I'm going to overrule your motion, Rule 29 motion. But, I mean, there wasn't anything in the apartment that had his name on it, that he got bills there, that he lived there, that he paid rent there. The base thing is they got to prove possession. I don't think there's any evidence in the record that they established constructive possession before you can even then get to the Furtherance Act and then the possession and the marijuana, because if they can't prove that he constructively possessed the marijuana, that's the only tie to get back to count one on the conspiracy count to distribute marijuana and ecstasy. But for that, they can't get back there, because once he ruled 29 out the cocaine and the cocaine base, that's all they had left at that point. And, the government talks about, well, the firearm was found in close proximity to drugs. Well, those drugs didn't go to the jury, and I don't think that can be used as a basis to say he possessed it in furthering of drug trafficking.
What do you mean those drugs didn't go to the jury?
Well, in the superseding indictment, they had charged the cocaine base and the crack cocaine. When Judge Schell granted the Rule 29 motion on the cocaine base and the cocaine, the only issue that went to the jury was count one, distribution.
Right, which included 88 pounds of marijuana. Wasn't this 78.8 grams part of the 88 pounds?
Well, if you looked at the government's calculation in their final argument, they came up with the 88 pounds based on the testimony of Posey. To me, one of the arguments I made in a subsequent motion for acquittal was they did not write down that it was 88 pounds plus 78.8 grams. The 88 pounds, if we look in the record and the argument of the government, that was based solely on the testimony of Brittany Posey. And that's how they came up with the 88 pounds. And so my question was, if they didn't find for the 78 grams, then did they not find that he possessed that? So, and that was my basis on that argument to the judge, was that you should reconsider the Rule 29 on the gun, because they didn't find that. Now, he overruled that.
When was this second motion for judgment of acquittal made?
I think shortly within the time frame after the verdict was written, I filed an additional written motion. The 78 grams is the only connection to get back to count one.
And right.
But for that, then the 924C fails, and also that also goes to the venue issue, because but for getting back to the Eastern District, all this occurred in the Northern District.
Right.
Thank you, Your Honor.